ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. It is a Tuesday edition, Taco Tuesday edition.
You in bed?
Of the Killer Bees on, I did. Yeah. It is my innovation. Of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. This is the first time the full band's been together since Tuesday? Last Tuesday?
Last week.
A week ago?
Yeah, about that.
It's great to have the band back together. Brian, I don't know if you're aware, but yesterday you won the car wreck of the day.
Oh, I did. For what?
You did. For not telling A-Rod. But to intro the Mailbag Monday segment
background
with.
Music.
That's, well, that's not true. I can actually refute that. But
you got receipts.
I have receipts. I do actually have a receipt on that, so that's not true.
A-Rod said, well, he did give me a lot of information I might have overlooked. And we said, no, Austin. We're not going to blame it on you. We're going to blame it on Brian. So
no.
It is funny
there
that
was
you have
a whole,
receipts.
There was an email, a text. I got receipts.
Well, I mean, Austin was wearing a Rice hat and shirt, so maybe that's what.
I don't know if you dug into his fandom, but it is cross-country wide. So, yeah, there might be a.
Oh, he has done a bunch of different teams?
Oh, yeah.
He had the Diamondbacks.
He roots for the Diamondbacks, the Phoenix Coyotes, the Cleveland Browns, and I can't remember his basketball team.
Phoenix,
but it's all over the map.
Arizona makes sense.
But
Cleveland
then
doesn't.
To Cleveland and then to Rice.
Sometimes your college allegiance can be much different than a pro allegiance.
Yeah, but he didn't go to Rice.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
I should have known that. No one that goes to Rice is working in sports radio. Let's be honest. They're doctors. They're lawyers. They start companies.
True.
They're CFOs. They're CEOs.
True.
Or they're Lance Berkman.
Yeah. Or they're really good at baseball. Yeah, we should have known that.
Well, Nate the Great does games for Rice, but I don't believe Nate Griffin went to Rice.
No, I think he was a D1 receiver.
Yeah. Some
maybe Southern Miss.
That may be right.
I think it is Southern Miss. Anyways, J-Bar M brought us lunch today.
We always
love when J-Bar M brings us lunch. 2201 Leland Edo, that's your spot to have some great barbecue. One of the top 50 barbecue places in the entire state. They're going to have watch parties for U of H basketball during the NCAA tournament. Go there. Watch your U of H basketball. They have banquet rooms. They have your parties. They have all what you need. All of what you need. And then their food is fantastic. Their food is top shelf. You had the brisket sandwich. Did you finish it yet?
Phenomenal.
Or are you saving it for
I
later?
Did. No, it was absolutely phenomenal.
Their brisket sandwich is phenomenal. It's elite. They butter the bread. They have a fancy little, I don't know what you call it. It's just kind of, it's like a mouse wheel where it just kind of moves in circles.
Like a rotisserie?
Kinda, but like I've never seen anything like it. I'm sure it's very popular in the restaurant business.
I'm not sure they want you using rodent names in the when describing restaurant equipment.
All right, let's fix that in post. Okay. Anyways, they have this wheel that moves around in circles, and half of it's covered in butter, like the pool of butter, and it rolls in and out of it.
Oh.
And they put their bread on the the other half of it
right.
That's not in the butter to butter it. It's fantastic. Great device. Great device. It's the best thing since sliced bread. And that's where they put their bread. You see?
I was just ignoring it.
Fantastic food. Fantastic food. Go to J-Bar M. You make yourself happy. They have the very best. Also, General Ben stopped by. Gave me this bad boy. It's a family show, so I won't say what they brought by. But I'm looking forward to getting into that a little bit later. But it's great to have the full show together again. Lots of concerns right now when it comes to the Houston Astros pitching rotation because Jose Urquidy's not going to throw for a while. Justin Verlander's going to start the season on the IL. J.P. France, we think he's going to start the season with the team, but he hasn't pitched a ton in spring training, hasn't been great. Christian Javier didn't finish the season strong. He's been kind of up and down
up
in
and
spring
down.
Training, but people don't like you mentioning the down or the negatives in spring training. Up downs and negatives don't exist in spring training, according to some. Fromber, bad second half. He's been up and down in spring training as well. And then Hunter Brown, he did not pitch well in the second half of last season. Rookie, lots of innings, blah, 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 blah. And then you have the latest news where Blake Snell has signed with the San Francisco Giants on a $62 million two-year deal, $31 million per AAV. He did get some of that, like almost half of it, where they're paying him in the future in a signing bonus.
Yeah, I saw that. It's quirky.
It's quirky. It doesn't really change the AAV, though, I don't think. So, like, Jim Crane would still have to go into the second tier of the luxury tax, which people don't realize there's tiers to the luxury tax. Mm-hmm. So being in the first tier, you don't get taxed as much as paying into that second tier. Some people don't realize that. You probably should. And then the secondary part of Blake Snell, too, is the whole draft pick compensation. People don't realize that Blake Snell has draft pick compensation attached to him. So if you were to sign him, you lose draft picks. So if you're worried about losing minor leaguers, you should probably also be worried about losing draft pick compensation. I digress to say a lot in a very little that Blake Snell, to me, I'm not disappointed because, like, there's a lot of good reasons to not sign Blake Snell. Little sad to see that contract because I would have given him the 66 for two. So I was sad, but I'm not disappointed that Blake Snell elected San Francisco.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. The big thing is that there are other guys out there, if you so desire, to go get, like, a Jordan Montgomery where you don't have to give up a pick to get him, and you would think he's going to be cheaper than what it cost to get him in San Francisco. And the resume is a little different and lighter than what Snell had going for him. And yet he could still be just as effective of a piece. We'll see what happens because with every ticking time, a minute and second that go off the clock, it's getting closer to the start of the season. And you think these guys want to find a home. I'm just curious how long he's willing to wait before he hooks on with a team. And if he sees the opportunity, especially if the Rangers are just not so far, you know, inclined, I guess, to go and get into some heavy discussions with him, that it would be a great place for him to go. Come to Houston, get back at your old team, be on a winning team, have a chance to win another ring. And
you're not going to like the Jim Bouton tweet from a couple hours ago.
I guess I missed it.
The Astros do not plan on pivoting to Jordan Montgomery, according to sources. I don't understand why.
I don't either.
I don't understand. We could have a conversation about why. Why do you not plan on pivoting to Jordan Montgomery? I think Snell has more upside there. Montgomery comes at a cheaper cost. He's somebody that's reliable. So I think there's a lot of good reasons to bring in a Jordan Montgomery. But yeah, according to Jim Bouton, the Astros do not plan on pivoting to Jordan Montgomery, according to sources.
Did we hear previous to them when they went out and signed Hader that they weren't interested in Hader? Because, I mean, if this was coming from other guys, I might take a lot more to it. Maybe I'm just being wishful thinking and saying
if this
was Bouton as opposed to, you know, some of the guys that are on the cusp of everything that's being discussed, whether it be Nightingale or, you know, Joel Osteen Jr. or, you know, the other guys that like to get into the daily rumor mill, Ken Rosenthal, I might maybe write it off quicker, but I'm hopeful maybe that that's just one guy's opinion.
Yeah.
Lorenzen doesn't do anything for me.
I like Lorenzen.
Do you?
I don't think Lorenzen's a dude. Like, Lorenzen might not even crack your playoff rotation
right. If
people are healthy. And if Lorenzen is in your playoff rotation, you probably had a lot of things go wrong. What I like about Lorenzen is that he can eat innings. I like that he would be an upgrade to your pitching staff.
Is he a bridge?
He can start. Yeah, he's a bridge in the starting rotation. Mm-hmm. And then once you get your full allotment of starters back, he transitions to your middle relief. Like, it's not a guy who's like an upgrade over most of your starters like Blake Snell would be. It's a guy who can fit into the back half of your rotation for a substantial amount of time. And then if you get guys right and guys healthy, then he's somebody who has a history of pitching in the bullpen. I agree that it doesn't move the needle a ton,
right. But
I think it's a significant enough upgrade over your middle relief long term that he would help you over the course of 162 games quite a bit.
Yeah, if it's multi-purpose and he can bridge as a starter early on, and because he's playing with a team that'll probably put up more runs and provide good defense for him, if he can keep you afloat while you're waiting for guys to get back, and then you can find a spot for him in the middle of the rotation, in the middle of the bullpen, so be it. That'd be great. But I hope that just because they may or may not be in on the only other big name starter that's out there in Montgomery, that they're not done seeing what veterans might be out there to help them.
Yeah. I don't think Lorenzen's anywhere as good as Jordan Montgomery.
No, not even close.
It's just you get him on a much cheaper deal, mm-hmm. and he can transition into the bullpen. He's pitched more as a reliever as he has a starter.
I'm interested, going back on Snell, Jeremy, you mentioned before Joel gave his opinion that there were good reasons not to sign Snell.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the obvious financial reason and getting into the second level of the luxury tax, I don't see the good reason not to sign Snell. Because we're talking a player opt-out. It's one season, probably only one season. You know he's capable of high-level a performance with the two Cy Youngs, and you have a need there with the injuries and the delays and your staff getting ready for the season. I just don't, other than avoiding the second level of the luxury tax. Yeah.
Well, the draft pick compensation.
You've had
to pay for Hader too.
A third round pick, I'm not saying it's nothing, but it's a third round pick would, in Major League Baseball would never prevent me from doing something I thought could get me back to the World Series. And Snell, adding Snell is a get us back to the World Series level move.
Look, I would have signed him to 66 for two that was reported. I'm pro Snell, but there's always pros and cons to doing anything in life. So the pros are all the things that you laid out, and I agree are greater than the cons here. But there were some negative things attached to Blake Snell, and you mentioned them. The finances, getting you into the second tier, that's going to cost you a whole lot of money. Does that whole lot of money cost you players down the road? I don't know. It's a question for Jim Crane. And then secondly, you do lose more draft pick capital where your minor league system's not in a fantastic spot. I'm not saying that the cons outweigh the pros. Like, I'm with you.
Okay,
I'm pro Blake Snell.
Like, a third-round pick. I mean, you're right. I mean, the Astros farm system, depending on where you look at it, it's ranked 27th or lower. But one third-round pick is not going to rebuild the farm system to a point where it was before this dynastic run began.
Cornbread says that he's an every other year guy. Blake Snell is a bit up and down. He's had two incredible years.
Joel and I talked about that a bit. I guess it was last week. No, it was Friday. Yeah, it was Friday. Mm-hmm.
That's last week.
Yeah, it was last week. Good job for
both
by me.
Can be true.
But yeah, in between his two Cy Young seasons, Blake Snell does have two seasons of an ERA north of 4.20. So there is definitely concern there with his performance. But I don't know. I don't see the reason to back off of Snell other than trying to avoid the second level of the luxury tax.
Yeah. I mean, that's the
And you're
the
already willing
thing.
To go into the luxury tax with Josh Hader, so I don't...
Second like, tier's more expensive.
It is, but if you're willing to go... To me, it's like kind of like the Breaking Bad line. No half measures. You've already taken the step. Go all the way.
I agree with you. I would have signed... I would have tried to sign Blake Snell. I think part of the conversation too is that, like, we always think if the team matches the money they're going to sign with you,
right?
Like, Blake Snell's talked about how he wants to play in LA. Like, maybe you did give him a better offer than the one that he accepted with San Francisco. Maybe he told San Francisco, because I want to play in California, that I will take $62 million instead of $66 million from the Astros. Like, we never know that side of the story. Oftentimes we see the numbers, well, the Astros should have done that. Maybe they had an offer that was better, and Blake Snell was using the Astros to get San Francisco to spike the price to that contract.
That's the thing that I think fans get so naive about, because they get so tied into the Astros are one of three teams involved in discussions. A lot of times, the agent and the player, and to a lesser degree, the player for the most part, because the agent just brings the player the final numbers, that the agent is just hoping to get one, and if he's lucky, two other teams involved, just for what you mentioned, to kind of get the kind of terms that they're looking for, the amount of years, maybe bump the money up, get the guarantees done, so that they know all along there's one place the player wants to go, but in order to make all the numbers make sense for the player and everybody that, you know, they're pulling for with the agent to get it done the right way, they need competition. And so a lot of times that's what the rumors are out there to do, is to facilitate the panic mode or the reaction and the action of the team to try and say, well, I'll up my offer. Oh, and you can see how true they are in terms of how long they're going to stay in the game. But at the end of the day, I'm sure he probably targeted where he wanted to go, and they knew numbers they wanted to reach.
Yeah, we just don't know.
Right.
I do wish that Blake Snell was an Astro. There are a couple of cons. Don't outweigh the positives or the pros for the Blake Snell signing. But Astros don't get it done. A little curious about the Bowden tweet that they're not going to pivot somewhere else. I don't know.
That might be too, Jeremy, just like you just mentioned. Maybe that's a smokescreen message to say, okay, we're out. We're not interested. But then maybe the agent and the player start to panic a little bit. Like, we need a place to play.
The Astros just really haven't done that, though. They haven't really been, hey, here's a reporter. We're not interested in this guy. And then go back and get that guy. I haven't seen that play out.
I just think all tactics are on the table sometimes.
Yeah, I just haven't seen the Astros use that tactic.
That's fair.
And if you haven't used the tactic yet, are you capable of using the tactic? Probably so. I kind of need to see it first. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Are you disappointed or sad that Blake Snell went to the Giants? We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube as well. You just search ESPN Houston. You can find us right there. On Twitter, he's at Pac-Man Joel. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Busy show. We got a Cash It or Trash It. We also have a little bit of March Madness. How are we going to make March March Madness fun. Well, it's always easy to make it a little bit fun. And we'll see if somebody else can win Car Wreck of the Day today that's not named Brian McDonald. We'll see. We'll see if somebody else can get the job done. There was a headline today in the local paper, if you still get the local paper. It pertained to the Astros, and I could not disagree more. It also pertains to Hunter Brown. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
It's Blank and Branham, new guy. 713-780-ESPN. Tony22, he says, Tony22 here, your resident Lone Star Cuisine owner. It's called a Butterwill. Pretty simple. Send. You think he was talking to Siri when he said send?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, would I would text. Say 100% that's
Tony 22. It's called a Butterwill. Pretty simple. Send. That's awesome.
I've never seen that before. They included the word
he's definitely
send.
Voice yeah. texting while driving around. That's awesome. Tony.
Yeah, it's Tony.
He's always driving around. Tony, you're always talking about this food and stuff like that. I was telling the guys during the break. You always said you were going to bring us some. When are we seeing this? Jeremy's out there basically the rest of the week with the coup. Next week or something like that, let's start seeing, you know, put your money where your mouth is. Put it up there. Let's go.
I love the Butterwill invention, though. What a great invention that was. I'm a big Butterwill kind of. I want a Butterwill at the house. What does one have to do to get a Butterwill?
I was going to throw that out there when you mentioned, like, put it in your kitchen.
Do you have to plug it in?
Probably.
To keep it yeah. spinning?
I mean, what the hell are you going to do? Get solar power?
You have a mouth underneath.
Oh, my God.
I mentioned earlier. 4-5. Actually, hold on a second. 409, Josh. What are the odds the first picture of the Texans' new uniforms posted was a team plan leak so Cal could respond by posting the picture he did?
It's possible.
I don't think there's any chance. There's no way the picture that you saw out there the first time was the picture they wanted out there. No chance.
I think absolutely, because it's exactly what you said. There would be nobody out there thinking the Texans planted that. And you know, teams do a lot of these things strategically to say that we'd like to get some more hype, create some more hype train before we announce the other three.
But it was so ugly. You don't want an ugly picture out there whenever you're trying to, like, get people excited.
Was it inaccurate?
But I mean, I'm just talking about, like, I'm not even talking about from a uniform perspective. I'm talking about, like, from a photographer perspective. Like, you had a terrible backdrop. You had a terrible model. You had no lighting whatsoever. You know what happened here? I think this is my theory. I believe the guy that modeled the uniform took a picture of it and sold it to the highest bidder. Because, like, you have people on Twitter that are like uniform leaks. I think he sold it for $100. Here's the picture of the new Texans uniforms. He was the model. No one else had phones whenever they were able to go in there and look at it. So how else did it leak?
I think
the model sold a picture for $100.
Don't you think the model had an ND, non-disclosure as well?
You should.
So unless you would think that they could trace that back. That $100, he probably did himself a disservice.
Yeah, well, he could have been an idiot.
I think that if they had the plan all along, and again, teams do this all, I've been a part of these, where that you think the deadline is exactly what they tell you, and they have all the intention in the world of leaking part of it, all of it, one of them out there, and then you look, and Cool Cat Cal looks like big dog in the room going, you want to see what it really looks like? Here, take this, and they get one of the four out there.
I still want to hang out with him. If he wants to have a drink of Gentle Ben, it's on me, Cool Cat Cal. I'm not arguing that leaks happen. Like, 100% leaks happen. Leaks mm-hmm. are kind of critical
and
in the PR yeah. world. But you're not going to leak something that looks so bad. You don't want that to be the first impression of the uniform.
Well, but think about this. You do, because the initial is, ooh, that doesn't look very good. But you're really, like you said, you're absorbing the background and how it looks like it's not professionally done. And then all of a sudden, here comes the owner with neon in the background, with a brighter, better overall look and feel. And people go, okay, I like it now.
First impression, so important. I don't believe it. I mean, we're not going to. Do you really think that?
I think it's possible. I didn't say that. I think it's definitely a possibility.
If that really happened, they're all idiots. Because you do not let that picture be the first impression. Like, it's first impressions. You only get one first impression.
And not only that, but you can't guarantee someone's going to look at the next picture. Like, they might have already formed their opinion. Like, why would they, you know, keep looking at pictures as they come out? They probably thought they've already seen them.
Well, I mean, you're still going to look at it with Nico and
maybe
Tank.
Not 100%.
Yeah, I don't think it was an intentional leak. I think that Cal McNair was like, oh, no, it's out there. It looks terrible. Let's put up our, you know, Hollywooded version of this. 3667, maybe the Astros drank the we're so deep at starting pitcher, we don't need anyone Kool-Aid that everyone kept drinking all offseason, LOL. This guy thinks he's funny because he thinks the Astros still need tons of starting. I still think the Astros will be fine.
I do too.
4518, would it be possible to bring up Spencer Arrighetti?
I think there's a legit chance Arrighetti could start the season on the roster.
I guess that would depend on France, right?
Well, they already sent him down to minor league camp. It seems like Ronel Blanco has probably earned a job in the starting rotation.
He really has, numbers-wise, yeah.
I saw Belak's being worked up to 55, 60 pitches today. I don't think that there's any chance Spencer Arrighetti will be on the opening day roster. Any chance, unless there's like more injuries. 1686, from a source of mine in the building, the model was fired. He didn't say what department he was in, but I'm assuming equipment. Maybe he was a scorned employee. Scorned employee that
last chance to get some cash on the way out the door.
He dropped this leak. Anyways, there was an article today in the Chronicle from Matt Kawahara, who does great work. And I'm not even sure Matt Kawahara did this. A lot of times the guys who write don't even write their own headlines. I'm not sure how it works in the Houston Chronicle. But his headline was a story about Hunter Brown and his workload last year, most innings from a rookie. They need Hunter Brown to step up. He was good in the first half, wasn't good in the second half, decorated, highly thought of, blah, 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 blah. The headline said, for Astros, Hunter Brown's quantity of innings will be as important as their quality. I'm sorry, I could not disagree more. If Hunter Brown pitches 5 innings every game and gives up 1 run or less, cool, give me that. I'll take that over 7 innings, 5 runs. I do not understand this headline. How is his quantity more important than his quality? I understand that the Astros starters right now, the rotation looks like a mess. Framber, Javier, Hunter Brown, JP, is he healthy? Ronel Blanco, is Belak going to start for you? I get it. And I understand that the middle relief ain't great. Like, you got Blake, you have the back end, you have Josh Hader, you have Ryan Presley, Brian Abreu, sans the first 2 games, Rafael Montero, blah. But you don't need quantity more than quality. What kind of weird headline is that?
Last time I checked, they signed Josh Hader, and they have one of the best 7th, 8th, and 9th guys in all of baseball, to where all you need to do is keep them in the ball game and pitch well for the first 5 innings. Yeah, it'd be great if you give them 6. And you've done your job. I mean, the games have all been shortened because of how good the back of the bullpen is. That's why it's just that 6th inning that we're focused on. And, of course, obviously you're going to need starters from time to time to give the guys a rest by going deeper into games, or if you have a big lead to kind of soak up innings, you can have other guys in the pen cover those. But it just seems to me that we've all said, because of the strength of the bullpen, that the game can be shorter for the starting pitchers now to get their wins, and they don't have to go as deep into games.
Like, what would you rather have from Hunter Brown? Would you rather have quality, or would you rather have quantity?
Well, to me, it's both about nice.
But if you only can pick one.
Quality, for sure.
What are we doing here?
Well, you take it quality because, I mean, obviously we're talking about, win probability, right? What gives you better win probability? Him giving up 5 runs but getting through 7, or him giving you 5 runs or 5 innings of 1-run ball, and then you just have to bridge 1 inning before you get to your 7, 8, 9 guys. I'll take the latter, certainly.
Yeah, I don't. Do you think you wrote this headline?
No, I don't.
The Chronicle.
You think they have headline writers?
They absolutely do.
I don't. I mean, I don't really know.
R.I.P. to Fred, but Fred used to tell me that they had headline writers.
See, I don't. I did a lot of print journalism in college, but I never worked for a newspaper. I never worked for the student newspaper, so I know that I've heard that they have other people that write the headlines and stuff like that. I didn't know if it's changed much in 2024. So we think this is a headline writer.
I would assume
I completely
so.
Like the editor, maybe.
No, they literally have someone on staff that's in charge of writing.
That's their entire job.
I don't know their entire job description, but their main job is when people submit their columns and such that they're on the headlines.
I don't like this headline. Like this headline, and I know that I'm very critical. I'm a very critical person. I critique a lot of things. I think that's fair to say. I read this headline and my eyes rolled so far in the back of my head. You want quantity over quality? Hunter Brown gave you quantity last year. Look at Hunter Brown's 2023. Hunter Brown in 2023 was quantity over quality. It says in the stinking article that he threw more innings than any rookie in all of the American League. He had 155 innings for rookies, decent amount. You want 155 innings and a 5.09 ERA? You want 130 innings and a sub 3.5 ERA?
Yeah, second half Fromber gave us a lot of quantity, but will we really sign up for his second half?
Right, exactly. I mean, you look at it, and Javier can throw a boatload of pitches, and he might get into the seventh inning, but we know when Javier's got his stuff, he can still give you quality enough to get you to the back end of the bullpen, especially with the bullpen you got now.
See, I come to you guys a lot of times, Blankers, Brian, The Hive, to see if y'all can talk me off of things. Because I know that I can be critical. I can be a bit too harsh. The Twitch is calling me cruel. King of Twitch was calling me cruel minutes ago.
For what?
He's not wrong. He's not.
Why are you cruel to disagree with a BS headline?
Well, no, he was calling me cruel before the headline ever came to play. I think he's just saying that it's a personality trait of mine, which I don't disagree with him. I think he's kind of right. At times I can be a little bit cruel. Not intentionally, unintentionally, of course. So I come to you guys, and am I going too hard here? Am I reading too much into this? Am I being too cruel? Am I being too angry? Whatever the case may be. Am I being that here for Astros, Hunter Brown's quantity of innings will be as important as their quality. Am I being mean here?
No.
for diving in on this?
No, I don't see it as mean.
I don't see it at all. I think you're being realistic in the fact that it doesn't make sense. It's stupid.
I think it's stupid.
I can see the small nugget of
the
idea.
S word, my kids say I'm not supposed to say anymore. Added to the other words you're not supposed to say, but it's stupid.
What aren't you supposed to say?
I guess you're not supposed to say stupid anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
What is 2024? What were you saying, Brian?
No, I was just, like, as you laid out when you were setting it up, I could see the small nugget of the idea of being concerned about middle relief and wanting Hunter Brown to maybe save the bullpen. But this team can't worry. With the problems they have at starting pitcher and having to fill in guys you don't think are going to be your starting pitcher, or at least you're hoping not going to be your starting pitchers when you get to the postseason, you can't worry about that. You actually have to get quality games so you can actually get to the 7, 8, 9 guys with the lead. Again, it's win probability. Would you rather get to the sixth inning, you know, only giving up one run and only having to bridge one inning to get to 7, 8, 9,
right,
or get to the sixth, seventh inning, but he's given up 5 runs and now you're trailing?
Like, I get the logic. I just think it's a stupid headline. You're going to take quantity over quality. 6927, this is the 5 innings pitched and 0 earned runs versus 6 innings pitched and 3 earned runs. Quality start argument. Give me 5 and 0 every time. Facts. That's quality.
Absolutely.
Give me the quality of 5 shutout innings over the quantity of even 7.
I don't care what your terminology is for a quality start. If you leave the game having not given up a run and you gave me at least 5, you did your job.
Yeah, I'm just... You know, sometimes I can be a little harsh. I can be a little bit cruel.
Well, this time you're not.
Okay, good. I'm glad you guys were able to tell me that. Is Jalen Green succeeding because Alpi Shingun's off the floor? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So King of Twitch calls me cruel. People call me moody, all of these things. You know what takes the edge off sometimes, though? You know what gets me in a good mood, in a happy mood, really quickly? Gentle Ben. Gentle Ben is fantastic. It's the best. I like a good drink at the end of the day. Vodka, gin, bourbon, whiskey, all are fantastic, all in my rotation. And Gentle Ben Spirits does it better than anybody else. How? Well, they have their revolutionary Percedo technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirit you'll ever taste. In fact, Percedo is the technology that a lot of other spirit companies use, by the way. A little dirty secret, except it's clean. Purification in Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in Gentle Ben, including gluten. That's right. There's no gluten in Gentle Ben, but Gentle Ben isn't going to brag about that one. All spirits are naturally gluten-free. Try a sip of the Gentle Ben vodka, gin, straight bourbon, or cask-strength bourbon. Compare it to what you drink, and you'll never go back. Just try it. You're going to love it from the moment you taste it. I've been a Gentle Ben man ever since I had that first sip, and I think you will be too. You get all the flavor, none of the burn. It is smooth. It is clean. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. If you're going to a Rockets game or a concert inside the Toyota Center, stop by Ben's Bar. Pick up some Gentle Ben. If you're going to an Astros game, opening day is right around the corner. If you're going to Minute Maid Park, stop by Gentle Ben's Bar. Pick up some Gentle Ben on the way to your seat. Head over to GentleBen.com as well. Learn more about your new favorite, and you can order straight from the website. That's right. Order straight from the website. Have it delivered to your store, to your front door, GentleBen.com. Gentle Ben, the secret ingredient is what's not in it.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Blank. I'm Branham. We are the Killer Bees. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. Tony 22. I actually really like how Branham always keeps things spicy and interesting and good at debate and sticking to the point, right or wrong, proving your point, sticking to it. It's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
Just bring the food, Tony. Okay, you don't have to kiss his ass. Just bring the food.
Well, you know I don't like that. I rather him say something disparaging and rude and something we can turn around and use Friday at 5:45.
You open arm that.
Yeah, you led the segment with it.
You led the segment.
I'm just reading what the Hive says. I'm just a messenger for the people.
You hate praise, but it's the first thing you do when you come into the segment.
I'm just a messenger for the people. I'm a voice for the voiceless.
Sounds like your headline.
You're not CM Punk. No, don't try to slide that through.
I'm just voicing. Sounds like your headline.
Both sides of it. You got it covered. Good job.
Y'all see right through me. 713-780-ESP. I really don't like praise, though. 713-780-3776.
In case you want to praise me, I'm going to have the phone number again.
At Jeremy Branham on Twitter. Is Jalen Green succeeding? Western Conference Player of the Week, by the way. Because Alpi Shengun isn't on the floor?
See, I don't think so. Although, I understand the case to be made because for a lot of the season, at least early in the season, the offense was running through Alpi, whether it be at the elbow or in the post, and he was either kicking and dishing or he was going to work. But I think that at a certain point, they shifted gears, and Ime decided to give the keys more to Jalen and give him more opportunities to create, not only for himself, but show he can create for others. So I don't think so. I think that maybe because Alpi took up so much of the scoring load, I mean, he was almost averaging a double-double. He was putting up 20 a game normally, that, you know, you don't see as much from other guys when you got a guy that's doing that. And Jalen sees the opportunity. He's getting more points. But I just feel like for some reason that a switch was flipped recently to where he finally understands the totality of what he can do in a game and how he can affect it positively to build his numbers up, but it helps the team a whole hell of a lot more.
Before I get my take on it, just wanted to be a voice for the voiceless again. 1443. Branham is so honest and awesome, such a great radio host, but more importantly, a better man. Stop with the compliments. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line.
You only had to tell me one. That was a long time ago.
What's that?
To stop with the compliments.
I really don't. I think that there is something in play here. I don't think that they can't coexist.
Right.
Like, I don't think that it's something that needs to be a problematic going forward. But, you know, the usage number is something that we hear a lot in the NBA. Like, how often is the ball in this guy's hands? I do think that Jalen Green currently in his NBA career is somebody who kind of gets rhythm and feel with having the basketball in his hands. I think that it's very normal, not just in Jalen Green's situation, where if you're the guy on offense, you're going to find rhythm more, and when you find rhythm more, you're going to score more and play better. So I do think that there is something right now that is a correlation with Jalen playing well and Alpi not playing well, or Alpi being off the floor. Now, we've seen them both have good games at the same time, so I don't think it has to be something that continues going forward. Like, one of the guys has to be the focal point offensively every single possession, every single game. But this is where Ime Udoka has to come in. Like, we're talking next year, because I don't think Alpi's going to play again this season. Okay, what's the matchup tonight? Do we have somebody that's defending in the post that has no chance against Alpi? Okay, well, if that's the case, you're feeding Alpi as much as you can, and Jalen Green needs to be better as a complimentary player. And then the same token, the other side of that. If you have a really good post defender that Alpi's not going to have good success on that night, and Jalen Green's got a weak perimeter defender, okay, that's the game plan going into play that day. So that's where coach has to come into play. I believe Ime Udoka is going to get there. But also the rise we've seen from Jalen Green has been coming. This has been something that's building all season long because he's finally getting coaching for the very first time in his life.
But here's what I think too, Jeremy. I think that both things can be true, but yet there's another factor too. That's the Van Vliet factor. Van Vliet is the guy that I think has led more to the development of Jalen Green, because early in the season when they were running a lot of things through Alpi, Van Vliet was the primary ball handler, point guard, floor general, coach on the floor, and everything that Ime needed from a veteran to kind of guide the young group. And then at a certain point, kind of when Ime shifted gears and wanted to kind of let Jalen have more touches and try to facilitate a little bit more, Van Vliet stepped back. There's been a lot of games where Van Vliet isn't playing as many minutes, but primarily the bigger thing is he's only scoring single digits. He might be kicking out some assists and doing some other things, but his scoring dropped off significantly when they started turning the keys over to Jalen a little bit more, too, all for the betterment of the team.
No, I think that they can coexist, but I do think that it needs a little bit more seasoning, okay? Like, we still think that, and I know they play together for a while, but again, first year Ime Udoka. 0974, I feel like Jalen has had plenty of usage all season. The pace and space has probably helped, but I think he's inconsistent and just not a good shooter. There's no doubt he's not a good shooter. Like, even like he's leading the low 30s, I think, with his three ball. But that's not a consistent, and he's streaky. Like, you'll have nights where he goes 5 for 9. You'll have nights where he goes 1 for 9. I don't think he's ever going to be a good shooter. I mean, certainly he can improve, develop things like that.
He's one of those guys that's a scorer instead of a shooter.
100%. Now, he can still be a guy that can be your number one scorer, even not as a good shooter. Like, okay, I don't have my shot falling tonight. Tonight's going to be a night where I feel like I'm going to go 1 for 9. Well, instead of going 1 for 9, go 1 for 5, get to the basket more, try to get to the free throw line more. I think that's where Jalen's maturity, maybe taking the coaching, will come into play.
It's maturity, and it's the understanding of the NBA game to realize, and I go back a few weeks ago when he had a 1 for 10 shooting game from three-point range. That normally meant that he was in single digits, his turnovers were way up, he didn't fill basically any other stat in the stat sheet, and he was a non-factor. But instead, in that game, he had 23 points, he made the majority of his two-point field goals, he made his free throws, and he had like 6 rebounds and 5 assists. That's the kind of game that Jalen Green figured out I can still get when I'm 1 for 10 from three. I don't have to play hero ball. There are plenty of guys in the NBA that are superstar scorers and big-time scorers like Dwayne Wade that were not good three-point shooters.
I mean, he was, you know, he became solid, but not a great shooter.
Michael came into the league not a great three-point shooter.
Look, I don't think he was ever a good three-point shooter.
LeBron didn't come into the league as a great three-point shooter.
I still wouldn't call LeBron a shooter. He's a scorer.
He's a scorer.
Jordan's a scorer. Wade was a scorer.
Yes, but Jordan was a guy that clutch time, he'll knock down the three and rip your heart out. But overall, he wasn't a great three-point shooter.
No, he wouldn't even take them.
If you looked up his end-of-season percentages, like you said, it wouldn't be a favorable three-point percentage. But then, of course, everyone remembers the finals against the Blazers, where he hit 6, I believe, in the first half.
This is your Jordan Poole moment for me.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was right there in the middle of that one.
My bad. 3-3-1-1, let him show out for the rest of the season so we can get more for him in the offseason. I am strongly against this.
But if he's playing well, why would you want to move him?
Well, because
value's back.
Counterpoint,
up.
That's the thing. Like, counterpoint is his stock is high, trade him while his stock is high. I want one offseason of Jalen Green now that he knows what winning basketball is about. I think it's too early.
And I think you got to see what the rest of the season looks like. Like, if it only continues to improve from here and it becomes consistent, then I don't think there's a reason to move him. Because, I mean, going to some of the points you guys made earlier, I think this is more of a – I think Jalen was improving in getting to this point because he got real coaching for the first time. And the fact that now Alpi is off the court is more coincidence than anything else. You look up the 4 games, I get it, small sample size. Before Alpi went out, Jalen was averaging 25 points a game, shooting 50% from the field.
Yeah.
It wasn't like this – it only started happening exactly when Alpi went out.
0974, I'm not convinced I've seen a material difference between Jalen this year versus last season besides just being a year older.
Is this the caller from yesterday just deciding to text so that there's less grief?
What do you mean? He's just stating his opinion.
I know, but how do you not, if you watch, I mean, you might be a very, very, very casual viewer of Rockets basketball, but if you watch any games at all last year and then the same amount of games this year, especially recently, you see a significant difference in Jalen Green because you see a significant difference in the quality of play that the team plays, that he's playing. You don't see the whole go to the officials every single time. And when he doesn't make a shot, it's either the official's fault or I'm not playing defense, James Harden style. You've seen a significant transformation in terms of his maturity level for sure.
Yeah, he says, like, defense and like, making the better passes, I think I've seen more of that.
Fact that he plays defense.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Wade, Jordan, and LeBron are not great comparisons for Jalen Green. They weren't saying it was a comparison for Jalen Green. They said there were guys who were scorers, not shooters. No one's calling Jalen Green.
They just weren't good
three-point
shooters.
Dwayne Wade, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. Like, that was not the comparison. Like, Blankers was just naming guys who were better scorers than shooters. In no way was he comparing Jalen Green to Dwayne Wade, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. You're reaching on that one, 444. And I like you, 444. I got your back. Eric the Driver says a nice thing about both of us. This is getting a little icky for me. As a longtime listener, I'll say, Brandon, sticking to his take, good or bad. All my takes are good, is one of the things that kept me coming back. That and Joel's What Up H-Town.
That's all
Eric
I got.
From the Driver. Okay. That's all you got.
It's Sweet.
the rest of the show.
At least I got a catchy way to start the show.
There are other things, Blankers. There are other things that you do well.
Mm-hmm. So it's all downhill from the start of the show.
That's where I come in. And
I think I should have taken the Branham stance. I don't like the compliment. Please, stop.
I told you.
As you read another
they're
one.
They're overrated.
Yeah.
Aggie Mad could be like trading Wiggins and then he takes off with the new team. I say keep him and hope for the best. It's too early to trade him, I think.
Aggie Matt knows hoops, not me, so let him go.
Yeah, I'm going to like Aggie Matt for a few more days. 713-780, Tony 22, would you consider, that's my mic there, Brian, would you consider Allen Iverson a scorer or a shooter?
See, Iverson was a pretty good blend of both.
I think he's more scorer than shooter.
He was definitely, if you had to pick one or the other, he was a scorer. He had unbelievable touch, though, in the mid-range game and the floaters. And he's another guy that when you needed a three, he could knock down a three. And you think about the one in the corner against the Lakers with the step over Tyronn Lue. They needed a big bucket. He was their guy. He could knock down a three. He just wasn't a volume three-point shooter.
Junior Broncos, if guys aren't going 20-10 first-team All-Pro by 22, they're a certified bust. He has sarcasm there. He didn't do the slash S like you're supposed to do whenever you're on the computer to hint sarcasm, but he was sarcastic there.
So they play football and basketball?
What's that?
All pros a football term.
Okay. That's something. That's a weird nitpick there.
No, it
that's
isn't.
A weird nitpick. No, it
isn't.
That's
a weird nitpick.
All pro is only football. That's all a weird, NBA first a team and all stars is basketball.
You're right, you but it's a nitpick. It's a weird
that's
nitpick.
That's an extreme
I just want to show you Aggie Matt.
It wasn't Aggie Matt. It was the next
I know. I'm telling you.
We did Why Is Brian Gone yesterday, Wrong Answers Only. Somebody said that you were interviewing at 6:10 to produce the Baytown Batty Show.
I will never do that again. I can promise you that.
Rocky said someone asked BMAC how his interview with 6:10 went.
I was not there.
I said you were sitting at home watching a Jason Statham marathon in boxers and a white tank top.
I didn't do that, but I should have. No, yes. I binged through another TV show I was behind on, but I should have probably watched a Statham marathon. Mm-hmm.
713. Eric the driver says your old NBA stories are second to none. So you got that too. Old NBA stories and what up, H-Town.
Woo!
713-780 ESPN. NCAA tournament kicks off tonight with the first four games. So we're going to do have an NCAA draft. 4-round draft. We're going to, whoever goes the furthest, we have a point system we'll tell you about. But who do we have going deep in the NCAA tournament? Who do you have going deep? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Mike Holley, U of H Cougar, by the way, U of H class in 1990, go Cougs. He used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner. Now he protects the interest of businesses, and he's been in the business of that for nearly 25 years. Mike, Chris Fisher, great people at HRMP. Fantastic customer service with those guys at the helm. But I can speak to that customer service. We use HRMP here at Gal. I'm a big email guy. I don't like talking on the phone. Anytime I have a question, always a quick response, easy to understand. I go email, but they're just as good on the phone, of course, as well. HRMP will work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need, whether it's HR compliance, whether it's benefits administration, whether it's payroll, maybe it's all of it, maybe it's one of it, doesn't matter. They're going to work with you to come up with a plan that you want. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRMP. A little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRMP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Let HRMP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. You'll love that customer support. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line, someone that's familiar with you and familiar with your company. Always will be dealing with you. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRMP customize a plan for you. That's 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, I love this music. Love this music so much. He's Blank, I'm Branham. I watched the selection show from 5 to 6 on Sunday, St. Brackets Day. I then turned it to ESPN, watched their bracket show from 6 to 7. Then I believe I put it on CBS Sports Network from 7 to 8, watched their show, and then went back 8 to 10 to watch the second team ESPN guys on their second bracketology show.
You're lucky.
I love it.
You're
I love
lucky.
This.
Because there was one other level that I thought you were going to go to.
Oh, I ducked that.
Yeah.
I turned it off.
Yeah.
That's why I flipped the CBS Sports
Network.
Yeah,
if we're going to the NIT preview, I'm out.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the women's selection show.
Oh, no, 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 no. They actually did a show on the NIT, too, to try and break that.
Did they really?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, God, no. You must be joking.
No, I've never,
I'm out on that.
My wife's brilliant. She I've never been more impressed with her than the other day during that night, during that session of time, because whenever I flipped it back to the second bracketology show on ESPN, they were doing like they were going back and forth with the men's bracket and the women's bracket. Like they had two men's basketball analysts, two women's basketball analysts, mm-hmm. and they were going back and forth with like the host moderating, like, what do you think about the men's tournament? What do you think about the women's tournament? I told my wife, I was like, I really don't like how they're doing this. I don't like how they're doing this. She goes, well, where does the women's basketball tournament go? ESPN. She goes, there you go. I was like, huh, I love you. That's why I'm married. You're a brilliant woman. Anyway, 713-780-3776. Who do you have going deep into the tournament? 6856, Key from L.A. Your boy says Blankers is king of the dad jokes. So you got that going for you, too. What up, H-Town, king of the dad jokes?
You have the grading system on that.
Old basketball.
It becomes degrading for me.
I like it, but it's a great bit, and the listeners love it. All right, so let's get to our March Madness draft. We're going four rounds in each. Brian, you can come up with an order on random.org real quick while I go through the scoring format. So our four rounds, you get 1 point if you go to the Sweet 16, 2 points if you go to the Elite Eight, 4 points for the Final Four. How about that? Title game, you get 8 points. If you win the title, you get 16. Brian, the question I would have, if you win it all, do you get points along the way?
Yeah, the points.
Okay, so you reach.
No. I see what you're saying. No, I think it would be.
Well, you might have to do it that way because if you win the title, you get 16. If you were to lose in the title game, I guess you'd get 8.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So you're saying if you had the team to win the title, you'd get the 16, the 8,
get all
the 4, the 2, the 1. To me, you only get whatever they end up with.
Okay, so if you pick the champion, you're getting 16 points.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Not getting it all. So your final destination.
Yes.
You win it all, you get the 16. If you're in the title game but you lose, you get 8. You reach the final 4 but you don't reach the title game, you get 4, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. That makes it I'm not sure it matters a whole lot, but just wanted clarification on that. All right, do we have our order, Brian?
It'll be Joel, then me, then Jeremy.
Snake, of course.
Yes, Snake, that's fine.
I don't like how I ended up here. This screws
me. I didn't like the Astros draft where I ended
up. Well, that rotates. Like, we're all going to get our turns at number one.
What? I know, this I rotates. Like
this one doesn't rotate at all.
What are you talking about? It's a snake.
But there's only one category in the March Madness draft. The Astro draft, we have how many?
You'll get your second pick before Joel and I will get our second
pick. No, I understand that. I get that it's a snake. But our Astro draft, we had how many categories that we're going through?
Well, we had a lot, but they like were all out and we had to ditch some of them.
Right, but like we're going to ultimately all end up with the first pick at some point for a certain stat, even though I guess that one isn't snake. That's a good point. All right, Blankers, you got the first pick. I've done zero prep for this, by the way.
Okay, I'm going to take the UConn Huskies.
All right.
With my number one overall pick.
Logical first pick.
Yep.
I will, man, I want to be that guy.
No, you don't want to be a jerk. You want to be nice.
No.
Be nice to the talent.
I don't want to steal your team from you.
Yes. I don't think I can legally do this if I don't pick them.
You have a chance to come out with something in this. Toughen up.
Oh, yeah. We have a lunch bet on this, by
the way. Yeah, we should mention that up front, huh?
Yeah, we have a lunch bet on this. So is it the winner is going to get a dish.
Yeah,
or we're going to go to Star Pizza.
The last place team will buy the first place.
Is that how we're going to do it?
Yeah,
or should the second and third pick up the winner's tab?
We could split it. That'd be fine. I was doing last place first. But
I don't care. However we do it.
Yeah. Regardless.
What do y'all want to do?
First place gets their
first
lunch
place
paid
gets
for.
Their lunch paid for. Should it be last place pays and the let's go that way.
Yeah.
Let's put a little more shame on who gets
exactly.
in last place.
Yeah,
good call. So last place will buy first place, and then the middle guy just has to pay for their own bill. Star Pizza. Are we doing just a normal pizza? Or are we doing the buffet on Tuesdays?
I would say buffet
either
on
one.
Tuesday.
Buffet on Tuesdays. Get the Star Pizza. Okay, yep. Who are you going with, Brian?
Yeah, I decided Joel talked me into it. I'm going to be a jerk and take the Houston Cougars.
I don't think I can legally play now. I think that's like a fact. I don't think I can legally play this game anymore.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry, Jeremy.
That stinks.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Break the law. Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
I'm not in a good spot right now. I guess I will go. I don't really like North Carolina. I don't like my spot. I will go with Purdue. Sure. They're going to lose to a 16. Yeah, they're going to lose to a 16. I'm actually going to go with Arizona here. Instead of North Carolina. So I'll go with Arizona with my second pick. Purdue and Arizona.
Interesting, okay. Interesting. All right, so Purdue and Arizona.
You keeping tabs of this?
I can. I thought you were, but I can keep tab of it. That's fine. Even if we don't, it's on the pocket.
I don't want to
podcast page. I could always pull it later. I'm going to, This is
I don't want to win this anymore. I want Brian to win. I'm playing for second.
You want
I'm
Brian to win?
Yeah, I do. I do. I don't. Yes, I want Brian to win more than I want to win. Absolutely.
What did
no
I do?
No doubt about it. You don't have Houston.
Okay.
I want Brian to win because he has Houston.
I get
Can
it.
You not real? You not realize that?
Yes, I get it.
Yeah, so that's why I want him to win.
You took Purdue and Arizona. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. I got it. All right, done.
Oh, man. Okay, you know what? I'm going to go KenPom ratings here, and I'm going to go with Auburn next.
I'm a big KenPom guy.
Yeah, I am,
Now,
too.
The problem with Auburn is they play UConn in the round
of
16.
I know. It's a tough draw. The toughest Sweet 16 draw you could arguably have. But, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go KenPom ratings here and go with Auburn.
Big KenPom guy. Big KenPom
guy.
Well,
I'm going with Carolina. I'm going with Blue Blood Central here. I'm going Carolina, and I'm going Kentucky.
Ooh. Man, you do have name brand there.
That's pretty crazy that Carolina slipped to you.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
That's pretty crazy. That's
you
good
almost,
value.
It seemed like you almost slipped
had
to. Carolina.
They yeah. have the lowest odds of all the one seeds, but, I mean, you just got a one seed with the six pick.
Did you see the Vegas odds, though?
I did.
The hottest team going at once the bracket came out was Carolina. Everybody was picking Carolina. Yeah, I saw it. We got it emailed to us, actually, I think.
I mean, obviously they lost their conference tournament, but still.
They have the lowest odds of the one seed to win. But maybe that's why they're getting a lot of tickets.
Maybe yeah, that's why they got the love. But a lot of people were putting money on them.
All right, so my pick next, I'm going to go with, this might seem like another knife in Jeremy's chest here, but I'm going to go with the team that knocked the Cougars out of the Big 12 title game and go with Iowa State.
Really good pick. I'm going to avoid the South region for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with Tennessee.
Rick Barnes.
That's a good, no,
you got to bet on Rick Barnes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it Kinnick? What's
it's
the kid?
It's actually Connect.
Connect.
I don't know how, but it's Connect.
He's a heck of a good player.
Yeah, it's Connect. It's a really good pick with Iowa State. Do I want to invest? Give me the Fighting Illini of Illinois.
Ooh.
Give me the Fighting Illini of Illinois. I hate my draft. I hope I'm just rooting
for
second
place. I don't like Illinois.
I'm just rooting for second at this point. That's so funny. Why are you laughing?
I love that it took one pick to completely just send you.
I mean, you knew it was coming, though. It's why you did. Wait, it's not.
I didn't think you'd spiral this bad. I think I like my pick even more now.
Illinois?
Who did I take?
You said Illinois. You said Illinois. Why? You want to change it? I haven't
made my next pick
yet.
I was writing down. I was keeping track.
Yeah. You took Tennessee and Illinois with the two teams that you took. Okay.
I'm stacked. I'm loaded.
Okay, next pick. It's my final pick here. I'm going to stay in the Big 12. I've got two Big 12 teams already, and I will go with Baylor. Don't love that pick. A little farther down in KenPom. Certainly passed up. Probably some better teams here, but
two potential lottery guys, though.
Yeah, but I just believe in, you know, obviously teams that go through the toughest gauntlet, and being in the Big 12 certainly put Baylor through that.
I was about to say, you know what Brian's just told me with his draft? He thinks the Big 12 is the best conference in the world. He's got Houston, He's got Houston, Iowa State, and Baylor.
I do too.
Yeah. Thinks the Big 12 is the
for
best.
For sure.
They are.
For basketball, yes. I'm going Marquette.
I thought you were going to go Kansas and just go all the blue bloods. UConn, UNC,
no,
Kentucky.
I don't believe in Kansas. Now, I don't believe I've seen multiple people say that Samford is going to upset Kansas.
Yeah.
I don't see that
it
happening.
It depends on their health.
Yeah.
That's kind of an old Kansas. There was obviously a stretch where Kansas got upset by every lower, like Bucknell and Bradley.
Yeah, but three of their best players
BCU,
could be out.
But that's my point I'm making. That take is an old take at this point.
Yeah, it's this year's team. Like, if they're healthy, they're dangerous.
And you know he's going to reload next year. It's just a matter of being healthy at the right time.
You got stupid value in this draft.
I did.
I love it.
You got a one seed North Carolina at 6, and you got a two seed Marquette at 12.
Yeah.
The reason I didn't take Marquette's because they're in the South region. I'm not taking a South region
team. Well, I kind of took advantage of that, too, because then I started looking in the South going, well, I know I only got BMAC to worry about there.
I hope Kolek doesn't play.
You shut your mouth.
I don't hope that. I'm saying that for the draft. I hope I come in second. I hope Brian wins. All right, so Blankers has UConn, North Carolina, Kentucky, Marquette. Brian has Houston, Auburn, Iowa State, Baylor. I have Purdue, Arizona, Tennessee, and Illinois. Who got the best foursome? I'm going to say Brian did.
And Joe George has Longwood, UAB, Wagner, and Western Kentucky.
Longwood has a cool story. Their head coach used to be an attorney in Houston. In Houston. He left the legal field, started his own oil and gas company. No, it's not Reed Geddes.
Okay.
He was a former coach under Clyde. And then he left to be a CFO. All during this, though, he started a company, like a little fundraising deal, like a charitable deal, where he was taking underprivileged kids in the Third Ward and playing basketball with, like they would do like basketball stuff.
Yeah.
And he got the itch to coach. He said, okay, I'm going to go back into the coaching field. He got a Dobo job at UMBC, got bumped up to assistant the next year. He was an assistant coach on UMBC's season when they were a 16 Virginia? And beat number one Virginia.
Wow.
So there's some, you know, some symmetry there. But yeah, now he's the head coach at Longwood. All right, who got the best of that draft? 713-780-ESPN. The Danelle Hunter free agent acquisition for the Houston Texans. That is your favorite Texans move since when? 713-780-ESPN. What are the other moves prior to this that you loved as much as this Danelle Hunter to the Texans? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.